Welcome back.
Good morning.
Hello.
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 I forgot that. I didn't test the microphone.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
This is Trisha.
I am Evangelist Laurianne, and we are
kicking it with Jesus. So, just wanted to inform everybody, this is the last episode of the season. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a little hiatus.
I know that's right. A little sabbatical.
A little sabbatical. We'll see. And if all is well, we'll be back September 3rd.
Yep.
So we'll see.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, you know, we both go, what are we going to talk about tonight? As always. So, let's rabbit hole like we normally do.
Okay.
Because we do good with that. So this morning, you know that I'm in a place where God really has me. In a tight place.
Mm.
And going through some issues from in times past. And so I'm having not an issue, but I'm questioning a lot of things in my walk with God. And one of them was, so in the book of Corinthians, Jesus, the Apostle Paul says, when we all die, we're all going to pass through fire. And when we pass through the fire, what we've done for God, if it was not with the right intent, it wasn't for Jesus.
Right.
It will burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. But if it was for Christ and your intentions were true, you'll receive a reward. And I thought to myself, Father, this was my first thing. I can't honestly say, because I'm a prideful person, and I know I am. Nobody has to tell me that. I have issues. I'm not a nice person. Like, I know me. The only thing that I can say honestly, that I know for sure, and I say this to Jesus all the time, I'm not your greatest kid. I disobey more than I obey. You can't take my love from him, because I love him, right? But I would pray that what I've done really was for the glory and the honor of my Father. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that scares me. That scares me.
Because in a sense, like, you've been doing this for a while. Where, like, in a different sense, for me, like, it scares me because I haven't been doing this for a while. So I look at it as, like, well, what have I done? Mm. What have I done that was for Jesus? Like, I think about that. Like, I'm thinking about that as you're saying it.
Right.
Because I didn't read it and come to that conclusion. But I'm thinking about that, like, I just do things. But not in the tensions of like, oh, I should do this because this is gonna glorify God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think about that.
I don't know if...
Not even just glorify God, but...
Right. Like, oh, I'm gonna do this for God.
Right.
I honestly don't think I do that. Because I don't think that. In the sense of, oh, I'm going to do this for God. I don't think it like that. What I do think is, like, for instance, today I had to take a lift to church for prayer. And so when I took off, I was on the phone and the driver must have heard my conversation, realized I was going to a church, how I was talking, who am I must be some kind of something. And so we get to talking about Jesus, and he said, I don't go to church, but you know, God is a big part of my life because of my heritage. And he's Latino, and that the Latino culture, that's what they do. You know, great grandma, grandma, you know.
Right, right.
You had no choice. And so when I was getting out the car, I said to him, Will, can I have your hand? I didn't ask him nothing. Can I have your hand? And he gave me his hand and I prayed. I didn't, and when I walked into the church and I finally got into the sanctuary, I stopped for a second and I said to myself, did you do that for him? Did you do that for you? Or did you do that for God? And I, Trisha, this is what I said to myself. If I did it for him, it was for God.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Trisha, man.
But can I ask a question? I don't know if I should ask this question or not, but go. I'm going to anyway, because my cousin,
that's you?
My cousin Bethany said that I say the things that people are thinking.
And I just shake my head, yes.
Why would you do that for yourself, though? Because, like, my brain doesn't think like that. So, like, if I felt like I was going to pray with somebody, and you pray with a lot of people, though. Like, I can remember times where you would just stop the car and go and pray with somebody on the street corner because you felt that God told you to do that. I don't do that. But if I were to do that, like, because there has been times where I felt God say, go pray with that person. And I'm like, man, I don't want to do that. And then I do it. So it's not just second nature to me to do that. You know what I mean? So I can't understand in my mind why would it be, like, what would it be that you would think it would be you in that situation? You know what I mean?
For the same reason why when before we came on, we were talking about mantle. And you said, sometimes I can't handle preachers that, you know what I mean?
Because it's like a show.
Because to you, it's like putting on a show, but to them, it's like a...
Right.
My cousin Mad said to me last Saturday, she's like, you're good at speaking, but you yell a lot, man. And I'm like, but do you get my point?
I need you to get it.
So I just, you know, I don't mean to yell, but I get very
amped.
I do, but especially I'm very passionate about what I'm saying when it comes to Jesus.
Right.
Because let's face it, Trisha, I mean, the anger, and I really feel like the Lord said, where we are, the wheat and the tear are going to grow up together. So where we are, the light of Christ and the miracles of Christ are going to come up, but the, so is the enemy and evil.
Right.
And it's going to be hand in the end. You know what I mean? And
but isn't that like what Jesus said to Peter about the fish? Like, just collect them and he'll sort them out.
And that's the truth.
So, like, the wheat's going to grow up together and he's going to sort them out?
The wheat and the weeds. Yeah, I mean, because not everybody wants Jesus, which blows my mind, but...
It does blow my mind because I try to really think about before this. You know what I mean?
I do.
Before I said, okay, Jesus, I'm gonna give you a shot now. Because I did it for 32 years and it's not been fun for me. You know?
I do.
And I remember... because I'm stubborn. And I think that's the majority of people are just stubborn and stuck in their ways. Like, I can give myself happiness. I can figure it out myself. I can do it. I don't need anybody to do that for me.
But can you really make yourself happiness?
You can't, because for 32 years I couldn't. And then it was finally like, okay, well, Jesus, you know what? I'm miserable and now I have a child and I like hate this life that I have right now. And so I'm just going to like let you, I'm going to try you now. And if you can actually make my life better because nobody in my past has, then I'll stick with you.
I think, you know, the older I get, the more I realize that, yo, let me rephrase that. The older you get, the more death becomes a reality, right?
Right.
And it's no longer in the back of your mind. It's always in the front. And so, I mean, I'm nervous about going to heaven. I'm nervous about the whole process. And, you know, can we just talk about it for a second? Because I don't think that people talk about it as being young or my age or maybe older. Nobody ever talks about it because I don't want to talk about it.
Because it's the unknown.
Right. I know Jesus loves me. I know that I'm forgiven. I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I also know that my sin is ever before me. My sin is on my lips. My sin is in my eyes. My sin is in my head. And sometimes what's in my head, I do.
Right.
And it's not okay. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? I take it on myself and go, man, what? And so you're just going to go to Jesus and you're going to ask him to forgive you when you blatantly... You blatantly. You knew and you did it anyways. How many people do that? As Jesus stands there and goes, hello? I'm still here. Trisha. Man, death is coming quick. Quick. And then it's gone.
Right.
And I don't know what's next.
But you do know what's next.
I know what I read.
Right. But you don't know from experience.
And even with that is a mystery. Because reading Corinthians, Trisha, everybody is going to stand before the judgment seat of God.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Everybody is going to stand at the judgment seat of God. Can you imagine such a... I got a DVD on that. A massive amount of people. Too many for your brain to even comprehend. And they're all standing there at attention waiting. And one by one, their name is called. And you stand before Christ. You stand before the Father. And everything that you've done, good and bad, for the bad people. Because our bad went through the fire.
Right. See, that makes me feel sad. Like, because I know not everybody's gonna get saved. And that makes me feel really sad. That they're gonna stand there and be like, man, if only I can go back and listen to that person that just randomly said something about Jesus.
You know what? Where this is what's, let me choose my words right. Sad. Well, and this was a message that I saw somebody write, because somebody had wrote about how Jesus Christ was King, Savior.
Right.
And somebody chimed in and said, well, you know, that's your opinion, and I am Jewish, and I am entitled, and you're right, you're entitled. But this is what we do as a people. and I understand why, but it won't hold up in court in heaven. Mm. Well, my mom taught me, and this is how it is. This comes down from generation, be it Catholic, be it whatever. So, if you know that you know that you know that you know that your eternal destination is good because of a religion, a heritage.
But that's what I don't understand. I guess that's what... Like, when I was not following Jesus, I was not following Jesus. There was no religion. I didn't look at it as a religion in a sense. Like, I don't need a God that gave me the life that I had, is how I felt. I don't need that. I'm good. Because I was naive and I didn't understand. But I don't understand how people... They live their life and they just, like, I don't think that I guess it goes back to what you were saying. I don't think people really understand about death. You just don't ever think about it. And I don't know if I don't not think about it. My thing is I was always afraid to die. That was my, and I don't know if it's because since I've been little and I got stuck in a fire, I think that scared me a lot. And that is a memory that I don't remember having, but it's a fear that was in placed inside of me. I've always been afraid to die. And it wasn't until I really started walking with Jesus 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, that fear is no longer. Like, I don't have that fear of dying. I know I'm going to die, but I used to think about it all the time. I don't think about it anymore. And I think that people should think about it because our life is so short.
It really is short.
And if you think about it, I just want to know, like, what people, like, do you believe you have a spirit with inside of you? So if you have a spirit that's with inside of you, what's going to happen to that? Because even scientists will show and tell you that something happens to a dead body when it dies. Something leaves the body because of the weight. So what happens to that? You never think about that? You're just going to go through life every single day not thinking about what's going to happen to that, whatever that is that comes out of your body when you die?
I think that people don't really even stop to think about, just hear me. Again, you don't really think about death until you get to a certain age. And then death is always present. But shame on humanity, as if to think that the young person has a forever lifetime. Mm. Because, you know, my son's best friend, Steve,
gone.
And so...
So sad, too.
And random.
Random, yeah.
Random. And so I just feel in my heart like everybody needs to investigate. You know, I wanted
for yourself.
For yourself.
Not like, because your mom and your grandparents.
Is heaven real?
Right.
Is what you believe in and how you believe it, is that the truth? Investigate. I mean, there's so many things at our fingertips to figure it out. You know, of course, you know, that comment that I seen the other day, I really just wanted to go, praise God that you're Jewish. Praise God, because I am through the blood of the Lamb, but
right. My
blood does not say that I am.
I'm actually 1% Jewish, I found out.
Well,
so.
Me too, but... So, but I think everybody is.
I know.
But I think, Trisha, I wanted to say, investigate the whole story. Because the father had a son.
Right.
And the son was in heaven.
But that's what I don't understand, is why people don't think that that's important. And I can't, and I'm not knocking anybody, because...
No, I get it.
I was there too, yep. Because it wasn't important to me. It wasn't an important thing to me. I didn't think about it. It wasn't important.
I think because...
But I did think about death.
You're in your 30s. It's always here. When you're doing drugs or when you're drinking and driving, it's always there. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't think that it stops when you're tapping into stuff like that. But once your spirit leaves your flesh,
it's too late.
It is too late. And he will show, Christ will show you every single time you had a chance to see truth. You saw it. And it did, you weren't moved by it. You just didn't want to. For whatever reason. And I know that. Like, I know that. So, you know, I really, this whole abandonment issue, you know, Jesus showing me that even my first pastor, my spiritual dad, the Lord showed me, and just never had a moment to grieve him. He was just uprooted out of my life, my husband's life, and keep the church together, Lori. Keep the church together, guys, okay? And it was just, it was one of those things. And I just felt, this is what I said to Jesus yesterday. Why is it that everybody I really love leaves? And then I wonder why I am the way I am. You know what I mean? As a saved person, I mean, I'm good now, but I think, kind of.
We'll find out next week.
But, you know, me and my man get into a fight, and I'm like, all right, I'm out. I'll leave before you do, because I'm tired of people walking out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a really hard going back and getting freedom. Yo, we couldn't do this like 5 years into my salvation, man. Like, seriously, okay?
Yeah, no, don't work like that. There's a reason for it all. And I like I said to you earlier, I think it's important for us to figure out, like, God's role in it. You know what I mean? Like, what is he showing us in this pain about him? Because it's all about him. Everything is about him. Everything we go through, it's about him. And even the Bible says everything that the enemy intended for evil, he'll use for good. So it's always about him, what he's going to do. What is it that we see? I know that for me to be true. I don't know if you believe that or not, but last year, like, my healing journey with this whole, like, abandonment issue. I guess I never really thought about it as an abandonment issue, but it really is that too, because I cannot trust anybody. I don't have trust for anyone to help me, nothing, because nobody's ever helped me as a kid. Like,
and everybody wonders why I am the way
I know.
I'll do it. I got it.
Yeah, exactly. So, when Jesus hugged me at the awakening and said that I am your eagle and your feathers, like, it was him showing me, like, I'm so strong and I am going to be here. Like, the feathers of an eagle protects its body, what's underneath him. The most important thing that's underneath him, his heart, his organs, all that stuff, especially through the weather and the storms and all that. And that was just like, he was hugging me saying that I'm never going to leave. You can always depend on me. Out of anybody, out of any of those people, I'm the one that you can depend on. And I feel like that gives me a better picture of who God is. You know?
Yep.
And I don't get it right, and I don't know if I, like, if I do things, I try not to do them. I never really do them for myself. I'd have to say, like, I'm not that type of person. If I'm going to do something for somebody or if I see something, I don't do it so I can get a pat on the back or anything like that. So I just hope that my prayer would be that I always just see things that Jesus needs me to do and do it and not be afraid.
Amen. I think it's really hard, Trisha, sometimes to walk this walk that God has called us to. In a sense of fighting your flesh versus your spirit. And for those that have arrived, praise God for you. But I have not. There are moments where sometimes I can conquer it and sometimes I cannot. For instance, sometimes my man will say something and I'm just in a mood. I don't know why, I'm in a mood. And sometimes it comes out of nowhere. And I'll say something that I find offending or I find insulting or hurtful. And I will, it's like a volcano that just erupted. And I'm like a maniac. And then there's other times where he'll say the same exact thing, the same exact way. And I'm calm as a cucumber, whatever that means, but, you know, just, and nothing will come out. Or something will come out and it'll be like, so, and I'm the one that I'm always, you're an idiot, why did you do that, da, 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 da. You know, I'm wrestling with Jesus on my prayer deck. Like, can't you just change me from the inside out?
Yeah, but you have to know that that's not just you.
That's not a reason.
No, it's not a reason. You're right, 1,000%. But it's a female thing. And I really believe it has to do with our hormones. Because, you know, they don't teach this stuff to you in school. But I never even knew. I found out when I was last year that we had 4 cycles. We have 4 different cycles in a month. All of us, even if you are through menopause, you still got the 4, your body's going, I mean, maybe not through menopause, maybe it's a little bit different, but you're still going through. And there's certain parts of the month where you're just, your hormones are so out of balance. On top of the food that we ingest, the inflammation that the food is causing our body, on top of the hormone imbalance, there are certain times of the month which it does not give us a reason.
Right.
I do the same thing with Josh. However, because I'm learning about it and because I'm seeing this holistic doctor, I can try being key word here, and mentally prepare myself knowing that I'm coming into that week where I know that this week is going to be a hard week for me because I already know that my hormones are going to be all crazy. So I can try to mentally prepare like, Jesus, I know. So help me at the moment I feel that fire inside me. Help me take a deep breath and blow it out and say, okay, I don't have to react. I haven't got there yet. However, I have got to the point where I know that I'm going to be in a bad mood that week. So I'm praying about trying to get to there. However, amen. It's about knowing it. It's about knowing and getting there.
Right.
And it's, I swear, it's Eve's fault. It's Eve's fault.
Poor Eve, man. She gets the blame for a whole lot of things.
I mean, it is. It isn't her fault because her man should have been being a man.
Yeah, well, I have my own thoughts on that.
Anyway, let's not rabbit trail to the genesis. However, I just believe it's her fault because I feel like, you know, childbirth is going to be so hard. Yeah, well, now our hormones are all crazy too. Like, why do we have to have four cycles? Why do we have to have four different types of cycles with our hormones going up and down, up and down, up and down?
Well, you know.
I want to just know. Hello.
I think you thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, sure did.
So anyway, I just this journey, you know, be it you, me, whoever, sorry, we are, I think it, if we don't cry out to God soon, I think a lot of people are just going to.
Sorry.
Yeah.
My dad's annoying.
Yeah. He's anyway. Playing peekaboo around the corner.
Yeah. He thinks it's funny.
So, on to the next. So, you ever read in Corinthians? All right, so Jesus, when he rose from the dead, Jesus went to Peter and then the rest of the disciples. But then in the book of Corinthians, the Bible says that Jesus went to James. And James was the brother of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yo, a lot of things went through my head today. Like, a prophet is without honor in his own hometown. Meaning, your loved ones ain't gonna see the Jesus in you because they know the right. bad in you that you used to do.
Right.
But praise be to God, can I just say it? Praise be to God that I am not who I used
yes.
to be.
That's good.
And that's the truth.
Right.
I'm not trying to preach anything. I'm just saying.
Because you know who you were,
I know who I was.
Right.
I'm no longer her. You may not know that.
But yeah, no,
you
absolutely.
May think that 100%. I am still a hypocritical whatever, whatever. But I am telling you, I am not her. She's dead.
Right. That's good.
I ain't where I'd like to be. Nor do I feel like I am where I should be.
Right.
Where I should be. But I surely am not
her.
And so that was James and the latter part of his life.
Right.
He has an encounter with his brother, the divine Messiah. And he was such a spitfire that he became James the Righteous, James the Just, James the Brother of Jesus.
Right.
And he was good with that. And he died brutally, man. Brutally. I mean, they all did. But I'm just saying.
Not to go down another rabbit hole, but now you just said they all died brutally, and then I watched this video of, you know, these conspiracy theorists that I find myself in, and I'm like, this one is like saying how John is not dead.
Stop. John on the island of Patmos?
I don't know where they said he would be, but he's just hiding out because he's the only one that's not recorded of his death.
Okay.
He'd be old.
Trisha! Old!
Like he's gonna pop out like, surprise! Jesus coming back now.
Oh, Trisha, no. He's dead.
He's dead, dead.
His flesh is dead. His spirit's alive and with Jesus. No. That's just a crazy cuckoo, like.
I'm gonna send that to you.
Please don't send that to me. Please don't send that to me. Reject.
But can we just talk about real quick? Because you're just always in the New Testament, and I did read the New Testament, and I've always was like, oh, I can't read the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament.
Come on,
like
Come on.
I'm like obsessed with.
Doesn't it come alive?
Yeah, like I just like Elisha. Yo.
Let's talk about him for a minute.
S-H-A. Elisha.
So he's got a best friend, a servant named Gehazi. Gehazi has walked with him for voodoo scat years. Years. Seen miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, the brother's eyes were open to see an army of heavenly hosts surrounding them.
That was like...
Okay? Like, yo, you're in the inner court, bro. You're in. You're walking with the man, the prophet. He knows stuff that he shouldn't know. He's raising dead people. And he, you know, it's funny how it's Jesus or it's money.
Right.
That's the only thing Jesus ever compares his life to.
Can I just stop you right this one second, though? Because you just said that, and I did not realize. This is why I read the Blue Letter Bible as well as I read this. And I don't think I realized that whatever that guy's name is, Gehazi. Was Elisha's right-hand man. Yep. I thought that was the king's right-hand man.
No. Gehazi was Elisha's.
And Elisha went, and then he left, and I thought the king's servant, which was him, went and said, hey, no, he'll take the money.
No. You're thinking about whole Naaman was the king's servant. He was Assyrian. Gehazi was the...
Gehazi is the one that got the leprosy.
Gehazi was Elisha's right-hand man. Naaman...
Oh, so, okay.
Naaman was in the king's palace.
I'm thinking, because who came to Elisha and Elisha just said, go wash in the water seven times? And...
He was offended, like,
he was offended. But then he said, and that, so Gehazi is the one that overheard.
No. So Naaman's servant said, well, if it was the waters at home, you would do it. But because it's the Jordan, he's like, what do you have to lose? Just go dip seven times and see what happens.
Right.
So he dipped seven times. The leprosy comes off of him. Naaman goes back to Elisha and says, listen, this is all yours. All this money, all this gold, everything, it's all yours. He's like, no, I don't want none of it. He leaves.
That's right. Okay, I'm thinking.
Now, Elisha's
servant
Gehazi.
Right, the brother
that has seen so much through the years.
Yes.
Runs after. So, I'm thinking about this for a second.
Because he said, oh, my master didn't want the money, so we...
So tell me how the enemy just went whoosh and hit him with arrow after arrow after arrow. Just take a couple of things. It's not a big deal. Elisha will never know. He's not here. And so he goes and he says, oh, my master changed his mind. Some people came. He needs to give...
That's right.
And goes home, hides everything, okay? So... Just right off the line, he knows that what he did, see?
Is wrong.
What he did, and we all do that.
Right.
Saved and unsaved, we know. The conviction comes, and we hide. We hide the sin, we tuck it away, right? And Elijah said, didn't I go with you when you went back to Naaman? The leprosy that left him now comes on you. But not only that, your generation to come throughout. Yo, Trisha.
Do you know that when I was reading the Blue Letter Bible, I feel like, I don't know what chapter it is, 6 or 7, 2 Kings, and it talks about, I think it was today, 7, chapter 7? I don't know. And it talks about the man that had leprosy, and he said him and the three people went to the Syria, the camp that was outside of the Israelites, and they were all gone, right? And the three, do you know the Blue Letter Bible said that scholars believe that that was him? Gehazi, what's his name? And his sons? And if it was true, and that was him, isn't it crazy that he was taking the money and he was hiding it at home? They were taking the money and they were hiding it and they were going back. And then the second time they were like, oh wait, what we're doing is wrong. So let's go tell everybody else. So then they went to the, they couldn't go in because they had leprosy. So they went to the gate and was like, hey, they're all gone, bro. They're up and left.
Yeah. I think though, Trisha, there's a lot of beautiful nuggets in the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, that by their example, just don't do it, man. Right. Just don't do it.
Exactly.
Don't be greedy for money, man. God will supply every single solitary need.
I actually circled that, not to go back, but circled that in here on 2 Kings 6. Because this was so, I read it and I was like, oh my gosh. Elisha said, don't be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed, Lord, please open his eyes and let him see. So the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And I wonder, if could Elisha see it, or did just he just knew? Like, he just knew that there was a spiritual army there. You know? Because I feel like that's kind of like us too. Do we have the faith to know that we have an army fighting our battles?
I think sometimes we do. Without seeing, we see inside. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. I really feel like it really depends upon our prayer life.
Hmm.
Which is the truth, Trisha. I mean, if you're prayed up, the Bible says that God puts a wall of fire around you.
And I know that to be true, though, because there's been so many testimonies of, like, witches that are in the school system that try to cast spells against the kids.
Yeah, that's not happening.
And they say every time they...
A Christian kid,
there's a ring of fire around them.
Yeah. But the Bible says that. And I just think that there's a lot of times, Trisha, that we need to just... this whole prayer thing, I think we think that it's not mandatory.
Mm.
It's if you want to.
Right.
Or I'm praying in my head as I'm doing things.
Right.
But that's not how Jesus said to do it. He said to be intentional about it. And so, you know, and I said this Sunday during service, I said, and I really, I'm trying to stop Dad from recording me, because I'm not trying to make a name. I'm not, that's not who I am. Stop it. And he's like, it's not that. I want people to hear you because you're good. I'm like, whatever. But I said this. Jesus said in the Gospels, when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he brought Peter, James, and John close to him, went a stone's throw, and prayed. Before he left them, he said, pray lest you fall into temptation. Mm. So what's the antidote to temptation?
Prayer.
You don't pray, guess what's happening? You're falling for temptation. Be it whatever that is. You go off on your man, you lie, you commit adultery, you whatever.
Right.
And so I think that if we're not intentional in our prayer closet, I don't think anything's gonna get done the way it should get done. So let me just finish by saying this. So the 20th of July, we are going to go outreach. God said to me, I want you to go have dinner with the least of these. And so we're making macaroni, salad, Italian bread, and water. I'm going to bring some tables and some chairs. We're headed out to Woonsocket. And so this Friday and next Friday, we're going to fast. So whoever wants to fast, they're more than welcome. And this is how the fast is going to go. Next Friday, you're going to do a Daniel fast. You stop eating at 7 o'clock. Set an alarm. You're going to wake up at 2. You're going to literally get up out of bed. Don't lay in your bed and do it. You're going to get up out of your bed. You're going to be intentional. You're going to pray for the blind to see, for the deaf to hear, and for names to be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. It would be wonderful for the captives to be set free. And then go back to bed. And I just feel as if we're really not a people that are intentional, especially in prayer.
Why 2 a.m.?
Because that's Jesus time.
I know we got to wrap up, but I do want to get into that at some point, is learning the...
The four watches of the night?
Yeah, I want to do research on... I want to research that. I want to read about that.
That's Jesus time. Yeah. It's also witches...
Yeah.
Which is time too. But
so you're gonna get a table and you're gonna what? Just invite people in to eat?
Yep, and we're gonna sit with them and we're gonna eat with them. You know.
That's beautiful.
It's great to feed them, but everybody feeds them.
But to have a conversation.
But to sit down and you're worth
my time.
I wanna know you.
Mm.
I'll talk. I love to talk. I'll tell you about me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to shove Jesus down your throat, but you're going to know who I am. And if there's anything I can pray for you for, let me pray for you.
That's good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus says, when you give a cup of water, or when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it for me.
Right.
Not that that's what I'm trying to do, but I really am trying to be, when I pass through fire, what I did for Jesus.
I think it's important because just because they're homeless or whoever, or maybe they're not homeless that are going to come and sit with you, whoever.
I'm hoping for addicts.
They deserve a seat at Jesus' table as
come
well.
Come on.
None of us deserve the seat at the table, but he's given a way for us to deserve a seat at the table.
That.
And if we're...
Beautifully put.
If we're... It blew my mind the other day reading from the Blue Letter Bible, and it said... It's our responsibility to tell the good news. Because when we don't, it's a sin. And you tell me what I'm supposed to do and I'm going to do that. Because I'm very black and white. Like, tell me the rules and I'll follow the rules because I'm a rule follower. Just like the scripture says, be angry, but do not sin. Okay, so I'm allowed to be angry, but I'm not allowed to sin in my anger. So what does that sin look like? Same thing. it's a sin for me not to tell the good news about Jesus and to keep it to myself because mm-hmm. that's selfish. Okay, well then give me the courage to do that because I don't want to sin. I don't want to knowingly sin.
I think you do. You do.
Not, I do on a phone or a computer, but.
You do it with Henry, you do it. And that makes you, that forces you to come out of your comfort zone. Because those are not people that you, not to say anything bad, I'm not, not at all. But it's not something that you would preferably do.
I'd rather do it, talk to somebody like a family than a stranger though.
Really?
Yeah, I'm always way too afraid to talk to strangers about Jesus. And I think it's because of where I come from. Like how the Bible was given to me. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And I don't ever want to be that to somebody. It's always so much harder for me. Because my family married into the family or not, you know that I'm crazy. And you know that I just say what I have to say. You know me. You know that I do it intentionally because I care, you know?
Mm.
But a stranger doesn't know me, and I don't want to ever give somebody a sour taste in their mouth, especially about Jesus.
I think, though, see, that's where sometimes we get it wrong because, you know, again, prayer. Father, give me the right words to speak. Let me use your wisdom. Let me use your knowledge. And look, yo, you can discern. God shows you. But again, I'm not approaching them in a manner of, here's Jesus.
Yeah.
I really just want to love you.
Right.
That's all I want to do. We're called to be salt and light.
Mm.
I may not even have to open my mouth and say not one thing about Jesus, but you're gonna see it. Just my mannerism,
right.
like even the way that I speak, Jesus took certain words and gave me new ones. Like, oh, praise God, and people go, huh? What's that? What does that mean? Like, and I can't even help it. I don't mean it. Like, so just sometimes buying an elderly woman or man's groceries behind you at the grocery market or and just look at them and say God bless you. It doesn't always have to be, they'll ponder why you did that,
right?
Especially now in a time and in an era of such quickness and hatred. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good.
So
well,
we are done.
We're done this season.
September 3rd, maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see what happens. See where life takes us.
Yep. I know my niece Bethany is going to say something. Like, we definitely. Yeah. Yeah,
we love you, Bethany.
Yeah, we do. We definitely do. Okay. Precious Holy Spirit, I come to you and I ask Jesus that you would touch the hearts of your people. Father, I don't know who listens to this, but I ask Jesus that you would bring the people, that you would have them to listen and to hear you speak, not us. I pray, Jesus, that you would glorify yourself in things that we say, whether it's a joke or a prayer or what we've been talking about. I pray that there would be a relatedness that transpires within their heart to what we're saying. Holy Spirit, I pray for those that are broken, I pray that you would mend them. For those that are bound, I pray that you would set them free. For those that have lost their way, and they know that they've lost their way, and so desperately want to come home to you again, and just find it so difficult, I pray that you would pave a way, and I pray that you would breathe upon the dry bones of their lives. Father, we all go through times and seasons where we don't feel you, we don't We feel like we're dead inside, and someone or something will come along and the breath of heaven will revive our bones. So Jesus, I ask that you would do that for each listener. I give you glory and I give you praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. All right.
Okay.
Well, until next time.
You're just going to keep sparkling, and we're just going to keep kicking it with Jesus.